The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Thich Nhat Hanh, a well-known Vietnamese Zen master, was involved in helping in the 1970s, 80s, receiving in, I think, the Philippines, some of the Vietnamese boat people who were escaping on rickety boats from Vietnam, coming, escaping the problems in Vietnam. And their boats that these people traveled in were packed with people, and they were very, rickety, and they're so full that sometimes the distance between the edge of the railing and the water was just very little. And so when storms came, strong winds and waves, some of these boats collapsed and were capsized, and many people died. And so he was involved with a little bit of that, and he wasn't a boat person himself, but he was on the receiving end. And he once gave this teaching. He said that if in challenging sea conditions, if one person on the boat could stay calm, it could keep the boat safe. Just one person stayed calm. And I've seen, for example, that with young children, that how important it is for one adult to stay calm. They tend to, in a challenging situation, they gravitate to the person who's calm, and they get a sense of stability, they get a sense that there's things are okay enough, that it's not necessary to get alarmed. A parent who gets alarmed at everything teaches a child that there's a lot to fear in the world. And that doesn't work so well for growing up, if that's the constant message. So a parent can stay calm makes a big difference in the life of the children. I've seen this in when my kids were small in nursery schools, where the teachers would stay calm, and nursery school is kind of chaotic, and sometimes the ultra tense political tensions would be present in the dynamics of our toys, 3-year-olds. I mean, it was pretty, all out, war. And to watch the skilled teachers stay calm and watch how to calm the kids down was great. So I use all these examples to say that if we can be chaotic, we can have a lot of things going on for us inside and externally in our life, but if we can have a place of calmness inside, that can keep us from sinking. It can make a huge difference for us. And there's a variety of places to discover that stability or calm inside. Sometimes it's felt physically in an embodied kind of way. It's can feel centered in the diaphragm or in the chest or in the belly, and just feel a kind of settled calmness there. And we can walk around connected to that, and we're just calmer as we go about. Sometimes you can feel that the mind has become really calm and quiet. Rather than the mind being speedy and energetic and agitated, the mind is really settled and calm and easeful. And that sense of calm mind puts you in all kinds of situations, and you can manage through it because the calmness is a reference point. I've had physical pain and physical challenges that have been pretty strong, but when I was able to view these physical challenges from the calm mind, it wasn't a problem. But when my mind got agitated and caught up in it, then the whole thing was difficult. So the ability to have a place inside, a calm place, peaceful place from which we relate to the world, is helpful for us as well, as individuals. And there's a variety of places to find that in oneself. Meditation helps us connect to different places of calm, different days, different meditation helps us connect maybe. But there's one in particular which is particularly important, especially as the practice gets deeper. And that is to be able to clearly know what's happening in a calm way. No matter what's happening, to have the knowing of what's happening be calm. And this knowing faculty of the mind is very important for vipassana practice, insight practice. Knowing is to have this clear recognition of what's happening. So that's so clear that you see that the knowing is distinct from what is known. We can know something, and we're kind of often kind of enmeshed in stuff, and we're kind of leaning into it, we're involved, we're concerned, we're judging, we're trying to fix things, and we're kind of like involved with what we know. And so we know it, but the knowing hasn't flowered into its own clear thing. So, now I really know it. I know, I pick up the glass, I know I'm picking up the glass, and I'm talking and I'm picking up the glass, I know it, of course. But to really know I'm picking up the glass, to really stop and really have the mind have this, like the most important thing for the mind to know at this moment is just to know the holding of the glass. And feel the holding. It's holding. And this becomes particularly interesting like with difficult emotions, where we often get enmeshed in the emotions and we get concerned and be pushed around, we're afraid of them or want them or judge them and identify with them and all this complicated thing. But to be able to kind of step back in the mind with the knowing quality, see and recognize that we have an emotion, but recognize it so strong, so clearly, so emphatically, that the knowing is seen as something distinct from what is known. And that allows the knowing to be calm and become a calm reference point for what's going out there. It provides stability and a sense of peace. And sometimes, maybe this is not the best example, metaphor for this, but I'm fond of it. When I was a kid, my parents would sometimes go get the car, put the car through the car wash, and we would stay in the car during the car wash, through all these buffers and, brushes that are swirling around and all this foam and water spraying. And it was lots of fun, I thought. But what was really great about it was, for me, was the inside of the car was calm and peaceful. And that, I think, is why I liked being there. It was like this contrast between the chaos outside the glass and, wow, it's safe, it's calm, it's peaceful here. So this knowing, to know what's happening, oh, I'm angry. Yeah, I know I'm angry. I'm angry. And even the knowing is angry, I'm angry. But to really know, there's anger here. It's kind of like, this is anger. This is anger. Wow. Until you say it so clearly, recognize it, that the recognition is a different, you see the recognition is a different mental event than the anger. They're distinct. They're not the same thing. If we identify with the anger, and I'm angry and everything, every thought I have is about my frustration, about my anger, and then we're enmeshed. Then we haven't seen how these things are distinct. But if we can see the knowing, it's beautiful. We have this beautiful capacity of the mind to know. And if the knowing can be just pristinely itself, not tied to anything, any outcome, wanting something, not wanting something, judgments we have, just to know, just know. There's a feeling of warmth in my knee right now, just warmth. I can know that, wow. I hear a sound outside, sound, just a sound. And I know I hear the sound. I see colors in the room, red and blue. Recognizing colors, I know the colors. Just that. And so, as opposed to seeing nice color and say, I'm going to go down to Target and get new clothes with new colors, how do I do that? These are nice. And there's a recognition, but immediately with the recognition is I'm caught in the, doing something with it. So vipassana practice has a lot to do with discovering the place inside where we can know what's happening without being entangled with what's happening, without needing to do anything but what's happening. This place where, and that's where a certain kind of calm can reside. A calm is in the knowing. The advantage of that is that it's not dependent on having a feeling in your body or feeling in the mind of being calm. It can actually, you can be agitated in the mind and agitated in the body, but through the practice you can find your way, oh, the knowing of all that, that is calm. I can know that, I can know that I'm agitated calmly. And then, you know, if then, you know, the one person who's calm in the boat keeps the boat from capsizing. So what the one, if you find that place of knowing and it becomes a refuge, a support, there's all kinds of things you can happen and be with, and you have this kind of ballast, you have this support, you have this freedom, you have this place to go to. So it takes a while to discover this, and as the mindfulness practice gets deeper and deeper, then at some point people come to a place where the knowing faculty begins to be highlighted. And so, you know, so, oh, knowing. It's like knowing becomes its own thing, whereas usually knowing is just a medium by which we know things, right? Just, it's more like the medium. It doesn't really, knowing doesn't count for anything. It's what I know that's important. And but we start with the knowing. Oh, I can know something. Oh, I'm impatient. Oh, I have a particular, that's a thought. There's a thought. And rather than getting pulled into a thought and say, oh, that's the wrong thought to have, I appreciate the knowing of having a thought. So for people who are uninitiated in this process of mindfulness, it might seem that what I'm talking about is silly or unimportant or kind of too distant from life or something. But this is where the depth of meditation practice really begins to open up and flower. If we can, when we know the knowing, when we really recognize and discover how to know something clearly, distinctly, and the knowing is calm and independent of what is known. So if I pick up the cup, the glass, and I can really know it so well that I know I'm picking it up. The knowing I'm picking up is distinct from the glass. As opposed to pick up the glass, I know I'm picking it up, and I hope you guys think that I'm a good glass picker-upper. And because my reputation as a Dharma teacher depends a lot about how I pick up the glass and how I look, and, you know, am I mindful enough, and, you know, so I hope you guys are noticing how well I'm picking it up. So, it, you know, that's very different than simply the simplicity of just knowing it. And that simplicity is where ballast, support, a different kind of way of being in the world can be. So, and this is one of the reasons why in mindfulness practice there's the emphasis on mental noting. The mental noting is optional, but the mental noting is a very important way of learning how to do this clear recognition. So we just start discovering this pristine, clear way of knowing as a resource, as a support for our life. Okay, so thank you.